We are going to continue in our series called Like Jesus. Last week we talked about Learn Like Jesus, and had a couple of people say, man, I spent more time in the Word than I have in the past. So I was like, yes. At least two people got the message last week, and maybe more of you did, and you were able to spend some time in the Word of God, and it was refreshing to you. And today we're going to talk about praying like Jesus. So if you would, let's all stand for the honor of reading God's Word. We are going to read this together. I will say the very first part of this, then we'll all read together. Jesus was teaching, and he said, pray then in this way. You ready? Join me. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, today we come and talk about prayer. Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have to come before you. Lord, today as a church, we come and we get to speak to you and hear from you. And we thank you for that. Help us, Lord, to hear you today. Lord, help me to preach plain and clear. I understand the judgment on my life, Lord, and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I do accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, and in his name that I preach. Amen. Amen. So this morning I want to talk about prayer, and prayer is talking to God. Prayer is talking to God. It's talking to the Father through the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. Prayer is a privilege that we as believers that we have. And as we look at Jesus' life, we understand one thing. Jesus thought prayer was important. He thought prayer was important. Now, how do we know that we believe that Jesus thought prayer was important? Because he prayed, right? And so what you do is what's important, right? When you do something, that reveals that you think that's a priority. And so Jesus was someone who prayed, so he felt it was important. He prayed alone. There was many times he prayed by himself. Matthew 14, verse 23, it says this, and after he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. There are moments in your life. Now, this doesn't have to be an everyday occurrence when you go up on the mountain to pray, but there are times when you need to get away and you need to get by yourself and spend time with God. You need to turn the phone off. You need to get the distractions out. Whether it be up in the mountains or whether it be in your car or in your room somewhere where nobody, but get away and spend time with God. Get the device out of your pocket that's constantly interrupting and invading your life. Amen. And it has a power button. Did you all know that? It's amazing. It has a power button. You can actually turn it off. But many times we've got this device, it buzzes or it dings or it makes a sound, and we can't even have time alone with God because it's somebody else is texting us, and it's out of control, isn't it? I mean, our phones are just crazy. It's like you can't even you'll talk to somebody and you'll be in a conversation with somebody, and then what happens? Or ding. And what will you find yourself doing? I mean, you'll have a conversation with somebody and you'll be like, you'll be getting that phone out, you know, and depending on who it is, you'll just easily look at it while you're talking, or you'll fight the urge and then you'll eventually like. And many times our time with God is so interrupted and we never have time to just spend alone with God. Jesus got by himself. Matthew 26, verse 36 says, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, you sit here while I go over there and pray. This was at a very trying time in Jesus' life. This was before he was going to the cross. He was stressed. He had a heaviness on him. And he went and he spent time in prayer. Where do you go when you feel the stress of life? Where do you go when there's heaviness upon your heart? Do you go spend it in time alone with the Father? Jesus did. We also read in Luke chapter 5, verse 16, but Jesus would what? Often slip away to the wilderness and pray. Often. Now, I looked up that Greek word, often. You know what it means? Often. It means a lot, on a regular basis. He often would go off and slip away, and he would pray. This tells me that he had a regular habit, a time when he would get alone with God. It was a priority to him. He did this. Luke 6, verse 12, it was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. Now, he didn't spend the whole night in prayer every night, but there were moments when he did. This was before he was about to choose the 12 disciples. And I'm sure he had a long discussion with the Father about Judas. I'm sure that one took a little while as they were praying. But he spent time with God, and sometimes it took. And on some occasions, all night, he spent the night in prayer. But not only did he pray with himself, pray alone, he prayed with others. Luke 9, verse 28. It says, some 8 days after these sayings, he took along Peter and James and John, and he went to the mountain to pray. He took three of his closest disciples, and they went, and they prayed together. You know, it's a good thing to pray with other brothers and sisters in Christ. There are times when you need to ask and invite other people to join you in prayer. We pray this in our gather groups, in our small groups, in our classroom environments. We pray together as a church. There are times when you just need to, maybe you start a prayer group before your work. Maybe you work at a place and there's several believers that work along. And you say, hey, let's all get here 15 minutes early. Let's pray together. Let's pray for blessing over the job. But it's good and healthy to pray along with others. Amen? Jesus also prayed. He prayed in public. In Matthew 19, verse 13, it says, then some children were brought to him so that he might lay his hands on them and what? And pray. So he wasn't afraid to pray in public. Okay? He prayed when people could see him pray. He also, we could say, he prayed before he ate, before meals. Remember, he took the bread, the loaves, and he blessed it. He gave thanks. And I would just encourage you as your pastor, for the sake of those who are with you at dinner time or whenever you eat, this is not your devotional prayer time. Okay? This is not the time when you break out into your 20-minute prayer and your food is cold and your friend now is an atheist. It's a short prayer and a giving of thanks, right? But he prayed. So Jesus, he prayed. He prayed. Now, why did he pray? If he thought it was important, we know he thought it was important because he prayed. Why did he pray? Why was it? Because he knew that when he prayed, his Father heard him. He was completely convinced, and he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that when he prayed, the Father listened. That makes a difference, right? Because some reasons why we give while we don't pray is like, well, this doesn't work, or I don't know, he doesn't seem like he's hearing me, or whatever. But Jesus, when he prayed, he knew that the Father heard him. In John chapter 11, verse 41, this is when Jesus is about to raise Lazarus from the dead, and he's praying. We get a prayer that we get to hear, that he said out loud so that the other people could hear. And this is what he says. It says, so they removed the stone, and then Jesus raised his eyes, and he said, Father, I thank you that you have what? Heard me. And then he goes on and he says, I knew that you always hear me. But because of the people standing around, I said it, so they may believe that you sent me. He said, when I pray, I know that you heard me, and I knew that you always hear me. So when Jesus would say, Father, the Father would listen. And when you pray as a child of God, and you say, Father, he doesn't turn a deaf ear. He doesn't hide in some other room and pretend like he's not home. He hears and he listens. Amen? And he expects us to pray. Right? So when Jesus, Matthew 7, it said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door shall be open. Whoever asks, receives. Whoever seeks, finds. Whoever knocks, it will be open to them. He expects us to pray. And when he was praying, and one of the disciples said, teach us to pray. John the Baptist taught his disciples how to pray. Teach us how to pray. He said, okay, here are some ways. I'm going to teach you how to pray. First, let me tell you some ways to not pray. So we find ourselves in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, when he says, when you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you that they have their reward in full. Now this is not saying that you can never pray in public, because we just saw Jesus did pray in public, but he's saying you don't make a show out of your prayer. The Jewish rabbis, they loved to be known as the religious people of their day, and they loved to wear their robes and all the garb that they had, and to stand out in the street corners, and praying so that, whoa, that guy, he must be a real, I never could pray like that. He says, don't do that. It's not a show, okay? You don't pray to be seen by men. You pray, when you pray, he goes on in the next verse, but when you pray, go to your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret, he will reward you. It's not a show. It's a time of intimacy with God. It's a time of relationship that you're speaking to God. It's not a production, he's saying. Go to your inner room. Now, when you go to your inner room and you pray, and you go to the mountain times of prayer, again, doesn't necessarily mean that's a daily basis, but it is a regular basis, okay? The Bible also tells us to pray without ceasing, right? And so that means we're to pray constantly. So we're to have a mindset of prayer. We can be praying while we're driving the car, right? Some of you have a commute, you can be driving. Praying while you're driving. You can be praying while you're waiting at the doctor's office. And I think that you should pray in all those moments and use those moments as your time of prayer. But don't let that be your closet prayer time. Don't let that be your only time of prayer. Was when you're just praying as you're thinking or dwelling. You need to have those closed times of prayer. Those inner room times of prayer, where you get alone with God. He says, when you're praying, do not use meaningless repetition, as the Gentiles do, for they suppose they will be heard for their many words. You don't have to go on and try to impress God with what you're saying. You don't have to use your many words. You talk to God. You have to repeat yourself over and over and over. You don't have to use the King James language. You can just use your language that you speak to. Father, I want to talk to you today. Listen. And then we get into what we all read together, right? Verse 9. It says, let me read verse 7. And when you're praying, do not use meaningless repetition, for those suppose that they're going to be heard for the many words. So do not be like them, for the Father knows what you need before you ask him. Right? And this is why some people then say, well, then why pray? If he knows what I need before I ask him, then why pray? Has anybody ever thought that? Raise your hand if you ever thought that. Well, if God knows what I need before I ask him, why ask him? Well, if God knows what you need before you ask him, why wouldn't you ask him? If he knows what you need, you know? Be like if the teacher said, if you need help, ask me. Well, I don't want to ask the teacher for help because she knows the answers. That's the point. Ask the teacher. She knows the answers. God knows. What better reason to ask him? Because he knows, right? So talk to him. Talk to him. He says, our Father. Let's just stop right there. Our Father. This prayer revolutionized prayer throughout all faiths here. This is a different way to pray. Jesus introduces a different way to pray. How does he introduce it? He says, Father, our Father. We are adopted children. We are in his family. He loves to hear from his kids. It's a relational thing. It's not religion. It's not regulation. It's relationship. We are in relationship with God, and we say, our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. God, you are the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. Realize that when you get alone and you pray with God, it's relational. You say, Father, and then you just begin to magnify him and lift him up. If you need some help in prayer, this is a good way to start off praying. You say, Father, today I want to praise you for who you are, for you are great. You are the maker of all things. You are the creator of all that I see. You have knit me, you have formed me, and you begin just having time of praise. If you want to ignite your prayer life, start with praise and adoration of God, your Father. Brag on how God is so great and so powerful. The Holy Spirit, he loves to lift up the name of Jesus. And you start magnifying the name of Jesus. And your prayer life gets ignited. Holy is your name. And then the next part of this says what? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be accomplished in my life. Now this is where we mess it up a lot of times because we don't want God's will. Many of us want our will, right? We come with an agenda to God. We come telling God, here's what you need to do. You know, if God would just listen to me, boy, this world would be a better place. Huh? I mean, doesn't he know what he's doing? I mean, I've got all the answers. I know what's best for my life. Right? We think that. Let me pause right now. Can I hit the rewind button just for a second and go back to our Father? I missed a point that I want to bring back up. Is that okay? Can I rewind? Let's rewind it just for a moment. Our Father. Let me say something here. I want to speak to the fathers here because there's many people who struggle with God as Father because of the father that they had. They may have had a very abusive father. Could have been physical. Could have been verbal. They may have had an absent father. And so when they think of God as Father, the only thing that they can think of is they can think of a guy that did not stay in their life or that was not a good person in their life. And so they struggle with the fatherhood of God. And what I would say and encourage you as a father, and as me, and all of the dads in here, that fatherhood is a high calling. And we are to try to be the best fathers that we can possibly be. We will never be as good as the Heavenly Father, but we are to reflect in the way that we raise our kids what a good father should be. So that when our kids hear about God being Father, they say, oh yeah, that's someone good. Amen. All right, let's fast forward back. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, I want your will to be accomplished. Not my personal agenda, but I want what you want to happen in my life. You see, prayer, If we would get this concept, prayer would be more about me getting to know my Heavenly Father and Him working on me than all of the things that I bring before Him. It's not so much about getting things as it is getting to know Him. And not changing the things around me, but changing me. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. It's okay to pray for your daily needs, right? Lord, give me today what I need. Provide for me, okay? Give me the things that I need to live today. And then he says, and lead us and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Forgive us of our sin. He uses the word debt. We are in debt. We have sinned. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we owe something. We owe a payment. We're in debt. I think we can all relate to the word debt, right? Many of us in this room today, we're in debt, right? Either in debt, your house, you have a house mortgage, car mortgage, whatever. Some of you have credit card debt that you're screaming from, right? And you have debt. And boy, wouldn't it be great, like, you know, if your mortgage company just said, all you got to do is ask for forgiveness and we'll forgive it. Wouldn't that be sweet? You know, call up your bank. Hey, about that loan, about that debt, I'm sorry. Sure, it's gone. That wouldn't happen, right? But now listen. We have a debt of sin that Jesus says, if you pray and ask for forgiveness, you'll be forgiven. Boy, isn't that a hopeful message? That we can have our sins forgiven. And because we've been forgiven, then what are we supposed to do? Forgive others, right? And then it says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is a prayer to keep myself. Lord, help me keep my eyes on the right path. Help me look straight to you, God. Help me not look to my right or left, but straight to you. Help my ears be closed off to what the world is saying and what the enemy wants me to hear, but help me to be in tune with what the Holy Spirit is saying. Help my feet walk in your path. Keep me from temptation. How many of y'all realize it is so much better to avoid mistakes than to learn through mistakes? Right? It's so much better to avoid. You know, you see the warning sign, danger, danger, do not turn. The road is coming to an end. And then you're like, what's that sign though, right? So you go on, boom, whoops. Should have listened. Praying for that spiritual guidance and protection. Lord, do not help me to see that hook that Satan will dangle before me and try to bait me with. Don't let me take it. Only you being willing to submit to God will prevent you from the temptation of sin. You through the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, no one else is going to stop you. Now, we've been hearing in the news about the all this drugs going on, right? Here in our community, there is bad heroin going around. And people are taking, and people are, what in the world are we going to do? The only thing that you have to say no to the drugs. You just have to say no. You cannot give it an inch of your life. I was a kid of the 80s, the 1980s. How many of y'all were a kid in the 80s? Grew up in the 80s? Nancy Reagan, y'all remember Nancy Reagan? She had this big, huge push, and it was called Just Say Just say no. And I mean, it was drilled in, just say no. And you know what? Genius, right? You've got to just say no. There's a good friend of mine. He got caught up in the drugs. He was super smart. Science, so smart. He told me, he said, Grant, he said, if I could speak to kids today, I would say, don't even try it. Don't even try it, because if you never try it, you'll never have to fight the battle to quit. And he never could get off, and it destroyed his life. He could have done anything. Had a brilliant mind. If you're ever offered anything, don't. You don't take it. Parents, we better have our radar up. You bet. Teach your kids. I know I'm going off. I hadn't planned to say all this, but here we go. You ready? You have got to teach your children, don't ever take anything that anyone gives you. I don't care if it looks like candy. I don't care if they say it's candy. If we didn't give it to you, don't take it. Now you say, well, that's being a little extreme. There is evil out there. Do you know that? Do you know that people will try to con things to look like something that it's not, to get you hooked on something? So you got to educate your kids. So, Lord, keep me from the evil one. Guard, watch over, protect me, God, because if I'm left to my own self, I'll end up in trouble. I need your protection. Help me, Lord, help me. Keep me from the temptation. Teenagers, you need to pray this over your life. Lord, keep me from the temptation. Keep me from the evil. Keep me, Lord, as I go through high school, through middle school, because there's things there that doesn't need to be there. Keep me, guard me. I don't know how many athletes that were great at middle school that never played by the time they were a senior because they got hooked on drugs. It's got to stop. It's got to stop. Keep me from evil. For yours is the power and the glory forever. Amen. Close with the holiness of God. Now, prayer should not produce passivity. Just because we pray doesn't mean that we're not active. Well, I'll pray about it. No, we still got to engage. You still got to engage. Just because you pray about something, you still got to engage. Jesus prayed and he healed. He taught and he lived, right? In Matthew 25, when he separates the sheep from the goats, and God separates it out, and he says that you know, this group's coming in, and blessed are you, because when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in prison, you visited me. Notice what it didn't say. It didn't say, I was naked and you prayed for me. I was hungry and you prayed for me. You know, well, we'll pray. A lot of times that's our excuse to get out and not do anything. But when we pray, we must engage. So we pray for the poor, and then we also help the poor. We pray for those who are hungry, but then also we feed the hungry. We pray for those who are lost, but then we also what? Share the gospel with the lost. You see? It's not just praying is not passivity. Praying is active. Okay? And praying, you will get an answer. You know, old Garth Brooks, theologian Garth Brooks, y'all know him? Some still like to go worship with him in Louisville every once in a while. And he had a song called Unanswered Prayer. Thank the Lord for an unanswered prayer. That is theologically incorrect, by the way. God will answer. He answers all prayers. He answers yes, no, or later. yes, no, later. Right? There is the perfect will of God, and there is the permissive will of God. There is the perfect will of God that there is the perfect plan that is not going to be stopped by mankind. There is the plan of redemption. You see it all through Scripture. There is a scarlet thread all through the Bible that there is nothing that's going to stop it. Jesus, it was preordained from the foundation of the world that he was going to come, die on the cross, rise again, and purchase redemption for all who will believe. That's already been settled. He's coming back. We don't know the date when he's coming back, but he is coming back, and there's no one or nothing that's going to stop him from coming back. He's coming back. Okay? So there's the perfect will of God, and then there's the permissive will of God where there's choices that we get to make, and sometimes by us not asking, forfeits the right of us receiving. I'll show you an example of this. It's in James. James chapter 1 verse 5. He says, but if any of you all lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. If you need to have wisdom, what do you need to do? Ask for it. Lord, give me wisdom. He'll answer that prayer. If you don't pray for wisdom, then guess what? He won't give you wisdom. He'll let you be stupid. Like I said, I've been there at times, amen? Ask for wisdom, all right? There are some times when he says you do not have because you do not ask. That's James 4, 2. Okay? You say, well, yeah, but I asked, but I didn't get it. Well, here we go. Let's talk about that. Prayer is not, God is not some heavenly Santa Claus where you go to him and you try to sit on his lap and you bring your list to God and you say, well, God, I sure would like to have this and that and this and that and this, this, this. And he'll go, oh, yeah, I'll give it to you. He's not some vending machine where you put your prayers in. Do the prayer. Let's see, I want this right here. You cannot manipulate God. Prayer is not a way to manipulate God. Prayer is a way to communicate with God and him to communicate with you. Okay? It's not a way to manipulate because sometimes we ask for selfish reasons, don't we? That's what he says in James chapter 4, verse 3. Look at it. He says, you ask and do not receive. Because this is James 4, 3, you ask and you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you will spend it on your pleasures. Sometimes we ask for selfish things so that we spend it just on ourselves. Let me give you some examples. You ready? Lord, give me a new job. I need a new job and a new job. Why do you need a new job? It's going to pay me more money. Why is it going to pay me more money? So I can have more things. I need more stuff, God. No. That's not a good reason. Lord, you know, would you grant me maybe a better job? Why? So I can have more money. Why? So I can invest into your kingdom's work. Now, that's a different type of prayer. That has a different motive behind it. Lord, sometimes I think you can pray for some material things, a car. Do you need a car? Lord, I like to have a new car. Pure motive, pure reason. Yeah, he'll help you get a car. Now he'll answer that job. Help me, I just gave it away. Now he'll answer that prayer through a job. Right? Don't walk out in the driveway and expect to see a big car with a big bow on it and says, from God. Heard your prayer last night. Here you go. It doesn't work that way. But if you have a pure motive, he will answer the prayers in ways to provide for the answers. Some of it's yes. Some of it's no. Some of it's no, no, you don't need that, no. Do you tell your kids yes every time? If you do, you cannot parent. Okay? If all you do is say yes to everything they ask you, then you are raising a brat. You don't always give your kids, because sometimes they ask for the wrong stuff. Our Father in heaven, He knows better than we do. Agree? He knows what we need. So He knows to say no to the foolish things. And there's sometimes where it's not yet. Lord, take this suffering from me. Not yet. Sometimes He will. Sometimes He will lift things immediately. Sometimes you suffer for a long time. Sometimes you do not get that answer until heaven. Lord, heal me. Or Lord, heal this person. Sometimes God heals. And I believe that God is a God who can heal and who does heal. But I don't believe that everyone who asks for healing receives healing on this side of heaven. Now this is where some denominations really mess a lot of people up. Because they say, everybody, if you pray for it, you ought to get it. If you pray it by faith, you'll get it. Just pray it by faith. And so many Christians have felt guilty. Well, I prayed in faith. We prayed for someone to get healed. They didn't get healed. What happened? Is God a liar? No, He's not. You see, our culture right now, we have this prosperity gospel, this that if you just believe in Jesus, everything's perfect, everything's great, you won't be sick, you'll have all kinds of stuff. Try selling that to the disciples. Every single one of them but John was martyred for their faith. Okay? Peter was crucified, and he said, I'm so unworthy to be crucified like Jesus. Crucify me upside down. Do you think Peter really wanted to be crucified? No. Do you think the early martyrs of the church said, yeah, kill me? Do you think that's what they really wanted? No. They faced it with that, but is that what they would choose? Do you think that Paul's an example. Paul asked three times for God to remove a thorn in his flesh. And He told him, my grace is sufficient for you. Many scholars believe that Paul had an eye problem, a severe eye problem. It's hinted at in letters in the New Testament about his eyes, that one church, they received him even though how he looked. In one letter he says, see what large letters I'm writing to you with. So many believe he had a physical ailment in his eye. Here's what I know. If I get sick and I need to be prayed for, I'm praying that God heals me. Amen? But here's what I know as a child of God. If I don't get healed here, I'm healed in heaven. And I will be in a place where there's no more death, no more dying, no more pain, no more suffering. There is a time when He says to His child, later, I'm going to heal you, but it might not be now. It might not be now. It might be with me forever. Because guess what? If you can have your choice on whether to be saved, know Jesus, be healed forever in heaven, or not know Jesus, be healed temporarily on earth and not go to heaven, which one are you choosing? If you had to pick from those two. Because guess what? You pray to get healed, you get healed, you're still going to die. True? You'll still die. Something's going to get you. Something's going to take you out of this world. Something's going to take that last breath. But if you have faith in Jesus, even though you breathe your last breath, you'll breathe your very first breath in heaven for all eternity, and you'll be safe forevermore. That's good stuff right there. Amen. So, we pray. We ask. We seek. We knock. And he will give us the answer that is best. We don't know what's best. He does. That's where you submit to the sovereign plan of God. I ask for the things that he tells me to ask for. Lord, help me to forgive my enemies. He'll help me forgive my enemies. Why? Because Jesus says what? Pray for your enemies. Forgive those. Right? But I want to close our prayer teaching this morning with these two thoughts here. You ready? I think this is very encouraging and motivating to me personally. And I hope it will be to you. And I hope it will help you pray this week. One is in John chapter 17. We're not going to look at this, okay? We're not going to look at this whole chapter because it's a long chapter. But in John, this is your homework assignment. John, here's your homework assignment. John 17. You got it? John 17. Go back and read it. Here's what I want you to know. Jesus prayed for his disciples. And when Jesus was on the earth, he prayed for you. In John 17, verse 20, he says, I'm not only praying for those you have given me, meaning the disciples of his, but I'm praying for those who will believe because of their word. Who are those folks? Us. We are those who will believe because of the testimony of the apostles. So he prayed for us. In John 17, we call it the high priestly prayer. Really, this is Jesus' prayer. He prayed for you. What did he pray for you about? Here's some things he prayed for you about in 17, verse 11, 15, and 24. He prayed for your perseverance. That you would make it all the way. He prayed for that for you. He prayed that we would be one as he and the Father was one. He prayed for our relationship with the Father to be true. He prayed for you. If you're a child of God, he prayed for you. He prayed for your spiritual satisfaction in 17:13. He said that their joy might be full. That you would find your greatest joy in life through loving and knowing him. That's what he prayed for you. He prayed for your spiritual sanctification and your growth, your spiritual growth. Sanctify them in truth, he says. He prayed for your spiritual protection. He said, guard them from the evil one. Now, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world. But they're going to be in the world, Father. And the enemy's going to be coming. And he's going to be attacking. And he's going to seek to kill, steal, and destroy. And I know that. And I'm asking you to protect them. Watch over them. Not only did he pray for you while he was on this earth, guess what? He prays for you still. Hebrews chapter 7 tells us that he is the greater high priest. He is the high priest. He is greater than the Melchizedek. He is the eternal priest who intercedes on our behalf. And it says in Hebrews 7:25, therefore he is also able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So when you pray, Father, Jesus the Son is interceding on our behalf. Man, I don't know. Prayer is an amazing privilege that we have as a child of God. And this week, I don't know. I don't know how your prayer life's been. I don't know where you're at in your journey with God. But would you focus this week in spending time with the Lord, learning from His Word and just speaking to your Father, knowing that He listens, knowing that He's interceding? And would you pray, Lord, help me to honor You in all that I do. Help my life line up with what You want me to do. Don't come with your own agendas and try to manipulate God to do what You want God to do. But would you this week spend some time with God and say, Lord, not my will, but Your will. Help me, Jesus, to follow You. If there's stuff in my life that needs to be out, get it out. If there's things that I need to do, let me do. There's something I need to say, let me say it. Lord, if I need wisdom, let me ask. If I need to grant forgiveness, give me the ability to grant forgiveness. If I need to shun evil, help me to shun evil. Man, and see what will happen this week in your Christian walk. See if a fire doesn't get lit and it becomes brand new once again. Let's pray. Lord, we truly do thank You that we have the privilege to come to You. Lord, what is man that You are mindful of him? Thank You, Jesus. Lord, help us to ignite our conversation with You, our prayer time with You. And this week, those who know You, may we all spend more time with You. Lord, if there's someone this morning that's here and they do not know You as Father, would You speak to their heart, Lord, and would You draw them out? And would they say, man, I want to know, I want to be saved. I want to know God as Father. Would you save them today, Lord? Would You draw them out? Would You speak? May we be obedient, for it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Let's stand, let's sing, let's respond, let's come. Let's pray. What a good time to pray. Talking about prayer. Let's pray.